There was a Greek philosopher, I've mentioned on this show before, named Heraclitus. Heraclitus was alive and active something like 2,500 years ago, and while not on the same level as Plato or Aristotle, scholars still study him and his teachings today, which is probably a lot more than most of us can hope for in the end. He had, or has, a couple of nicknames. He was called the obscure philosopher by some, because evidently most of his writings are somewhat convoluted and difficult for a lot of folks to follow. Another name ascribed to him was the weeping philosopher, so bestowed because his outlook on mankind wasn't always very cheery. Given some of the issues that we have in society today, one can surmise that he might be labeled the suicidal philosopher were he around right now. But I digress. Actually, the reason I bring up Heraclitus today is because of a particular line of thought that he had, from which we get a phrase that has been, and is often used in many forms today, "The only thing that is consistent is change." It was a part of a larger body of thoughts and excerpts in which he stated his belief that nothing ever stays the same. He used the illustration of a river to make his point, stating that every time you step into a river, you're stepping into new water because the water is always changing. Or, to put it as he did, you cannot step twice into the same stream. With that in mind, I'd like to address some potential changes on the horizon for the United States Fish and Wildlife Service in Alaska. The rivers are flowing, and new waters are right around the bend. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing changes to regulations for national wildlife refuges in the state of Alaska, designated Region 7 within the service. These changes seek to clarify allowable practices for the non-subsistence take of predators on refuges in Alaska and update existing Alaska refuge regulations for closures and restrictions. The proposed rule and the availability of the associated environmental assessment was published in the Federal Register back in January 8th of this year. The Federal Register, if you're not familiar with it, is the official journal of the federal government of the United States, and it contains government agency rules, proposed rules, and public notices. It is published daily except on federal holidays. To find it, a simple Google search will get you there. I have heard a number of comments reflecting on the fact that the proposed changes are somewhat complicated. Having read them several times myself, I would agree. Even so, I'm going to share a lot of the language to these proposed changes on today's episode, because there are a total of 9 open house and public hearings planned in communities across Alaska to solicit input from the public. Some have already happened. The meeting for Dillingham, and also Bristol Bay, as folks will be traveling over from King Salmon and Naknek, happens next Tuesday, so the time seemed right. You can also call into the meeting if you can't be there in person, and the information for that can be found on the Togiak Refuge Facebook page, as well as on the Trading Post Facebook page. These proposed regulatory changes for the non-subsistence take of wildlife would apply only to state-regulated, general hunting and trapping, and intensive management activities on Alaska National Wildlife Refuges. These proposed regulations would not change federal subsistence regulations already in place or restrict taking of fish or wildlife for subsistence uses under federal subsistence regulations. National wildlife refuges in Alaska are mandated under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, most often referred to as ANILCA, to conserve species and habitats in their natural diversity. All national wildlife refuges are mandated to ensure that the biological integrity, diversity, and environmental health of the National Wildlife Refuge system are maintained for the continuing benefit of present and future generations of Americans. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing changes to the regulations governing national wildlife refuges, specifically in Alaska, to ensure management of said refuges are consistent with the agency's mandates and also to increase consistency with other federal regulations and policies. In addition, the service aims to more effectively engage the public. We propose to do this by updating the public participation and closure procedures to broaden notification and outreach methods, ensure consultation with the tribes and state of Alaska, provide for increased transparency in decision-making, and allow for additional opportunities for the public to provide input. Hoo boy, That's already a lot to chew on, isn't it? But wait, there's more. Let me try to make sense of what the proposed rule would do. It would codify existing federal mandates for conserving the natural diversity, biological integrity, and environmental health on refuges in Alaska in relation to predator harvest. Predator control is not allowed on refuges in Alaska unless it is determined to be necessary to meet refuge purposes, federal laws, or policy, and is consistent with our mandates to manage for natural and biological diversity and environmental health. The need for predator control must be based on sound science in response to a significant conservation concern. Demands for more wildlife to harvest cannot be the sole or primary basis for predator control on refuges in Alaska. Codify. In case you're reaching for your desk dictionary or an app on your phone, what that word means is to arrange something according to a plan. Basically, this part of the plan addresses the fact that as a refuge, and under the conditions for which refuges were created, we need to consider all types of wildlife, the diversity part, found on refuges, and any decisions about harvest have to be grounded in science, not simply a desire to increase one species, a prey species, at the expense of another. Another part of the proposal would prohibit the specific methods and means for non-subsistence take of predators on refuges in Alaska due to the potential for cumulative effects to predator populations and the environment that are deemed to be inconsistent with service mandates to conserve the natural biological diversity, biological integrity, and environmental health on refuges in Alaska. The things it would prohibit include the take of bear cubs or sows with cubs, with an exception allowed for resident hunters to take black bear cubs or sows with cubs under customary and traditional use activities at the den site from October 15th through April 30th in specific game management units in accordance with state law. I would note that all such units are found on the interior of our state. Also, it would prohibit the take of brown bears over bait, the take of bears using traps or snares, the take of wolves and coyotes during the spring and summer denning season from May 1st through August 9th, and the take of bears from an aircraft on the same day that air travel has occurred. The third part of the proposal concerns a number of updates to the public participation and closure procedures that already exist to make them more consistent with other federal regulations and more effectively engage the public. To fully understand all that's a part of this one, I'd encourage you to go online. Google something to the effect of USFWS Proposed Changes Alaska, and you'll find the appropriate links to learn more. In fact, I'd encourage you to do that with all of the parts to these proposed regulatory changes. A couple of things I would comment on with this third one is that I've heard that it changes it to where the refuge managers have more power to make emergency closures or restrictions. That's false. Refuge managers already have that power, and there are no changes to that. It's already on the books. It does do a few other things, like extend the possible length of such closures from 30 days to 60 days. Again, I'd urge you to take the time to educate yourself with online sources, if it's of concern to you. One argument I have seen against us making such changes, by those who feel that it will negatively impact their lifestyle or interest, is that of, what authority does the service have to establish hunting and trapping regulations? Isn't it the state's job to manage wildlife in Alaska? Well, the service recognizes the state has obligations to manage wildlife in Alaska according to the directives of the state constitution. That said, the agency similarly must ensure that activities on refuges are consistent with federal laws and service policy and has final authority for managing plants, fish, and wildlife on refuges in Alaska. The service prefers to defer to the state on regulation of hunting and trapping on refuges in Alaska, unless, by doing so, the agency would be out of compliance with existing federal laws and service policy. These proposed changes will attempt to clarify any gray area that might be there right now with regards to this. The bottom line is this. There will be a meeting in Dillingham on March 1st, at City Hall, in the council chambers in the downstairs portion. We'll have refreshments and an open house portion starting at 4 p.m. There will be a half-hour break at 5, and at 5:30 we'll begin the official public hearing portion, during which we very much want to hear from the public, for and against, about how they feel about these proposed changes. The public will then have until April 7th to officially let us know on this. As Heraclitus might have told us, some welcome the change of the waters when they step into the river, while others aren't so keen on the idea of new waters and what's around the bend. We sincerely hope you'll consider joining us to give us your thoughts on how the waters look to you. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.